Welcome to the Rugged Gospel Podcast, a lifestyle podcast where we have conversations about some of the biggest topics and challenges facing Christianity today. My desire is that you use these conversations to spark one of your own with somebody else, creating an atmosphere of openness and change that can all start through a conversation. For more information on the Rugged Gospel, visit us on our website at theruggedgospel.com and follow us on our social media at The Rugged Gospel. And with that, here's this week's episode. All right, welcome to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Today, we are continuing our series on relationships. And for today's episode, we have back on the podcast, Eleni, but also for the first time, we have her husband on, Jeremiah. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. And let's just dive in. I know that you've been previously on and we've had so many good conversations, but this one, I'm actually really interested in what you guys are going to really have to say on this and kind of give us a take on what you've learned, right? I guess the first question is, how long have you guys been married for?
8.5 years.
Yeah, 9 years in June.
Okay. I keep saying like we're on the 9th year, but well, yeah, 8.5. But it's like, whatever.
Same thing.
8.5, 9, potato, wait, potato.
June what?
Feels like yesterday.
Did you get married in June?
26th.
Oh, okay. We're also June. I don't know if he told you that.
June 17th.
June 17th.
Yes. I remember I had a deadline.
Oh, that's right. I don't know. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
By the way, to everybody that's listening, she wrote a song for our wedding. And
it was amazing. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but if you're getting married soon and you want a song for you and your honey, Eleni Young is the person you need to reach out to like today.
Aw.
It was amazing. You did so good.
We don't know if she has the time, but
I know. I don't know if she has the time or I don't know if I was supposed to plug that, but I just, if you wanted to, I think you should.
Sure.
Link in bio.
So,
oh, I love it. Yeah.
So 9 years almost. That's a pretty long time. I mean, we're super fresh. It's been like 6 months. So we're super, super fresh. We're excited to really learn what you guys have gone through and some of the things that, you know, you guys have learned over these years of being married. One person told me one time to really seek advice from different ages, and I think it's such a good idea. I love being able to just listen right from different couples at different stages in life. But for you guys, one of the first questions we had for you was, how did you guys, I guess, deal with having different pasts or different backgrounds? I know sometimes it's hard. Like, me and her have similar background because of, like, growing up in church and all of that. But either way, like, we have different ways of thinking and different takes on some stuff. So how did you guys deal with that, with having just a different background and a different past?
I feel like we went into it quite open. My personality is quite easygoing as it is. But yeah, more or less, most of it was just on the table. I don't really, like, looking back, think like, oh, I wish I had a known this, or maybe I wish I had a known that. I don't think there's really nothing like that I can relate to. I think just in our courtship or dating or whatever, we just kind of laid it all out on the table. Knowing that if we were going to pursue this in a serious way, that, yeah, let's just not hide anything. And it's kind of like been like real through our whole marriage, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. Just being transparent.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because even though we do have different backgrounds in a sense, like, I think that you almost need that for a marriage to evolve. Being different and bringing different perspectives and worldviews into a marriage, I think, is really important because it creates this ability for you guys to both evolve. Sometimes, like, I've heard people say, or actually I've seen this in real life, and you probably have too, but, you know, like, sometimes couples start to, like, almost look a little bit like each other, and they start to, like, talk a little bit like each other, and it's just this weird, like, supernatural phenomenon that takes place. But it's almost like the couple that brings different worldviews and cultures and upbringings and pass into a relationship, it's almost like they form this new thing, and I think that is what makes marriage, like, so cool. So in saying all that, I think Jer and I brought, like, a pretty different past and background to the relationship. But then it's almost like when we surrendered it and when we were like, what if this goes anywhere? Great. But we're going, like, all in. Like, we're just going to be honest with each other and lay it all on the table. It's almost like there was a new thing that started, and it kind of followed us into, like, our dating and then engagement, and now we're here. So I don't even remember the question, but I think I maybe answered it. We have different paths, and now we're here.
Yeah. Yes.
No, you great. Did. I mean, I feel like it's the same for everybody in a sense. Yeah. Like, I feel like everybody has certain things that they're used to, certain things that, you know, maybe their family does, and certain things that my family does, and it's just things like that. And then different, of course, different backgrounds or different pasts. You have different families kind of coming together. So I think it's always like a little bit difficult, or like not difficult, but just different, something different to deal with when it comes to like getting married. But I think what you guys mentioned, kind of just laying everything on the table, I think is maybe the best kind of way to do it. Like from the beginning, just like, hey, this is who I am. This is what it is. It's all here. Yeah. Where can we go from here, kind of thing.
I like that you said that, because you did that. Like, we weren't like anything. We had just met and we just kind of liked each other. And then I think when we both admitted it, because you said it, you admitted it first. And I remember over at Texas, I was in my room. And you're like, yeah, like, I have feelings for you. And then, but it was, like, from that moment on, like, he was very much, like that. Like, you just, I remember you sent, like, a long text, and you just laid everything. Like,
I was like, here's this.
This is what I think about X, Y, Z. And I was like, yeah, I like ramen as a date, too, you know, but I'll take your worldview for now. But I still appreciate that to this day, because it didn't really leave room for guessing or like, oh, I didn't know this. And he was always, I think, like, it's always important for both people to, like, not only lay it out on the table, but it's very much like, if you have a question about this thing that I believe or this way that I think, like, it was always more of a conversation versus like, this is who I am. This is how it's going to be. And like, I'm not like, that's it. Like, you're with me or not. It was like, this is, what do you think? Like, this is how I am. Like, you know, and I think, like you said, I like that you said that couples, like, it leaves room, you know, for that kind of evolution. And I love that, because I know we're going to kind of touch on that later. But I think that's really important, because then, right, like, couples remain stagnant, and that's no bueno. but that's true. Lay it out on the table.
And as far as, like, when you dealt with it, was it also, do you think it was all before marriage, or did some of it, like, have to go into marriage and, like, you know, you still worked on it? Because I feel like a lot of people try to fix everything or, you know, fix everything before marriage. And they want to be, like, perfect when they get there. But what would you say to maybe somebody that's thinking that way?
I think, like, if we're supposed to be comparing marriage to God or Jesus and his church, then you have to think about it in a sense of, like, we don't get ourselves perfect before we get married. We do what we can and work on the relationship in the doses that we get it in, you know, like, every stage of a relationship just kind of gradually moves and evolves. And then when you get married, like, you still haven't really made it, but yet you get this more intimate level with that person, which sometimes breeds more issues in some ways for some people. And other times, like, that's a whole different, like, that intimacy part of it is a whole different thing that people need to work on. Like, so I think to have it all perfect before marriage isn't, it's not even in, like, God's plan for marriage, because that would be impossible. But you can try. But, I mean, reality will set in pretty quick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with pretty much that whole analogy there. If you, I think just honesty and transparency to the best of your ability. I mean, we ran into, you know, many things, whether it was a couple months or a few months or a year or 6 months into marriage, 8 years into marriage or whatnot, that we're still discovering or learning about each other. And that was, there's no fault of, oh, I wish I had known this, or I wish you had said something. Just because, like, your relationship grows on a daily basis, and there's some things you don't even really know about yourself that your spouse is also learning with you. And so as long as you can continue on in just laying it all out on the table, yeah, I mean, in a day-to-day relationship, that's all you could ever ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so one of the things I think, this was one that was particularly something I wanted to kind of touch on, and mostly because I know that you've been pretty open about your mental health journey and things that you kind of have gone through or still go through, which is important, not just church-wise, but I wanted to talk about, like, mental health within, like, what our marriage is, right? And I feel like a lot of people don't talk about that, or at least, right, like, we were talking about it, and I was like, I just never have seen not only people talk about mental health too much, right, like, in our church, but also what that looks like,
yeah,
in marriage, right, like, in a Christian marriage, in a godly marriage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just kind of want to talk about that and see, like, if you can kind of also expand, like, how you both have had those conversations, and what, you know, support looks like on both sides when it comes to your mental health struggles or your mental health journey, if you can, like, just kind of expand on that.
I'll let you talk about the support aspect, because, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this would be one area that we are probably completely opposite. And there's a couple maybe areas, but this would be one for sure. And let's just, like, on a topic of or discussion of dealing with it, or recognizing it slash living through it, I think it just becomes more or less like just being aware, just aware of certain triggers, or definitely not being, like, judgmental. It's pretty easy to be to cast judgment on something that maybe you don't fully understand or are not fully aware of. And that would just be one area that you just certainly couldn't do that in. There's maybe other ways that we can judge in a marriage a little bit, but I would definitely not in that area, just because I would want her to always keep that transparency open and always feel like she has someone to talk to. That would be the kind of the best way to look at that. I would like to say that I'm we all deal with mental health in a certain way, but, like, I don't usually let anything sit on my chest longer than it needs to. I can just kind of brush it off my shoulder and go on with my day, and I let, like, it's water off a duck's back. And I'm just realizing that not everybody's like that, especially in our own marriage. And I've just kind of always lived my life that way. Whether it's, like, a super high or a super low, like, I just continue on with my day or go on to the next day and kind of almost forget, like, what's going on in life or what has happened in life in the days past. But obviously, in our relationship, it's just being more, like, being able to recognize just the need is really the biggest thing, I would say, in a relationship. And you kind of, I mean, the longer you're together, you just kind of know, how the day is going, or what may have cause a trigger, or maybe what she needs in that moment, versus just a normal day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like funny because we're so different that I found out probably like not that long ago, maybe like, I don't know, a couple years ago maybe, that if I could tell like something is bothering him, or if he's just stressed, like he wears so many hats. So sometimes there's just like, he has to make complicated phone calls. He has to have really hard conversations with clients, or he's just busy and tired and blah, blah, blah. I'll be like, are you good? Like, what, are you good? And I'll ask him, are you good? And it like frustrates him so much because I'm like checking in with him the way that I feel like I need to be checked in with. And for him, he's just like talking about it frustrates me. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to tell you if I'm good or not. Like, yeah, I'm good. Don't ask. And so we would get into these, like, they weren't really fights, but they were almost just like, there would just be this tension. Is this familiar for you?
It's like all guys are the same. Yeah. I'm like, are you all like just made in the same factory?
No, well, it's backwards for us because you said you're the one that kind of tells him. And for us is the other way. It's me asking her because I can notice right away when something's wrong. And I'm like, are you good? Like, are you okay? Oh, yeah. And she's like, what do you mean if I'm okay? Like, yes. Like, why would I be? And I'm like, well, I can see there's something's wrong.
And I'm like, I'm not ready to talk about it yet. Yeah. And he's like, well, we can. And I'm like, I know, but I don't want right now. And so yeah. It's just funny.
Honestly, of all the couples that I've talked with, like that, or we're friends with, I always am in the camp of the husband all the time. And Jer is always in the wife camp. And it's just like, if we were in like a group of friends, it's like me with the husbands, like cutting up about like something dumb. And he's just like there being all like sensitive with, like, not sensitive, but just like all spilling the tea with the ladies. And it's so funny how it works. But like more often than not, I'm the one that's just like, are you good? Like, we can talk about it. This is a safe space. You know, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, okay. Sorry, girl.
No, it's, well, to be fair, guys, I feel like love spilling the tea, that they'll just never admit to it. But they'll stand around. I know it.
That's true.
They just kind of hang around and then mm-hmm. he'll come home. He'll be like, I saw something. And I'm like, what is it? So, but he'll never admit to it. He'll never say like, oh yeah, that's,
no, I wasn't listening.
I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of like dive into that a little bit. Cause I feel like not only is mental health, like I mentioned earlier, like godly relationships, not only like, as like I said, not to my knowledge, but I haven't really seen too many couples kind of open up about that, and like just how like support looks on both sides, right? Like the side, like your husband was saying, like how when you have, you know, he's understanding kind of your triggers, but also right, that like learning process, like not only is he learning that, but also sometimes, like, you know, mm-hmm. my mental health journey as well, learning how to kind of vocalize what I need, which hasn't obviously been, it's not second nature to me, unfortunately, because just before I got married, right, I'm living with my mom and my sister who know me like the back of their hand. So I didn't have to say too much. It was like, right, like my mom, like, right. And I don't know if my mom's like my best friend, so she just knows. And that was one thing I remember, like you mentioned, you're like, well, mm-hmm. I don't have like a book to you. Like, I'm not your mom. And I was like, well, you got to just know. She always knows. And he's like, that's your mom. Like, of course she knows when you're riding a really high, and she knows what to do when you're, you know, kind of down in the dumps again. And so it's like, I just kind of want to talk about that, like that support on both sides, right? Because I think like, not only do our partners who probably don't struggle with their mental health as much as, you know, their spouses, but also, you know, what the support looks like on the other side, like being able to kind of vocalize that, I feel like I just kind of wanted to, you know, see that. So, and thank you so much on again for, I wanted to thank you for your vulnerability. Like, I know on, you know, on social media, I see that. And it means a lot, especially because I think we hear a lot of Christians struggling with anxiety. But when a Christian is open about their, you know, their depression, I think that's something that, at least to me, like it like makes it, I'm like, okay, like, you know, this is, it's, you know, where I'm not alone and, you know, these things happen. And, but, you know, I love that you also make it some kind of a creative outlet. So just, you know, I wanted to thank you for that. But
I think too, I do get like where Jeremiah is like coming from too. And I think it's a lot of learning on like both sides. Mm-hmm. I think from the person that mm-hmm. is struggling with mental health, I feel like it's hard to sometimes learn how to communicate with this person that you are now dating or married to, and being fully open and being mm-hmm. vulnerable with them because, you know, of whatever has happened in your past or whatever it is that you're struggling with. But at the same time, when it comes to your partner, it's also hard because you're learning this, right? You're learning yeah. how to deal with this. You're learning how to be there for them. Like, it happened to us where me, like, sometimes I wouldn't understand. I'm like, what do you mean?
What do you like, mean I don't get it. Sad?
Like, how can I just make you happy? Can I just turn a switch button? Like, you know, like, and sometimes it's just yeah. like being there. And sometimes it's just listening. And sometimes it's just, like, not saying anything. Mm-hmm. For me, my biggest thing is, like, I'm always just trying to fix it. And she's like, no, like, don't fix it. Just listen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I want to fix it. I'm like, I don't want to see you sad. I want to, yeah.
Yeah, like, if there's a problem,
you yeah, and I feel it. Like for guys, that's, like, the thing that we always just go to is, like, how can I make her happy or how can I fix it? And sometimes it's, like, it's hard.
I think a big thing would be a big thing would be for me, recognizing, like, I would say, like, just in if I were to recognize in myself, dealing with mental health in that realm would be, like, in my life, I would say it's almost, in those moments, self-inflicted, where I think in most cases or most severe cases, maybe in mental health struggles, it's not self-inflicted. It's something that you've brought with you and you've carried for so long, whether it's from, you know, traumas in the past or past hurts or stuff that maybe happened as a kid, and bringing all the way up through your life. That's kind of the biggest thing for me is, like, in my areas of, like, struggles, it's like, well, it was self-inflicted. I can just get over it. And move on and fix it or whatever. And so to view it that way and only that way, has been something that I've had to, like, mm-hmm. kind of open my eyes to too, that there's a couple different areas, that mental health kind of comes at you. And you don't, if you can't recognize that, then I think that's probably the place most people have to start.
What do you mean by, like, self-inflicted? Like, you just,
like, I put a lot of, like, I would say I would put a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, just in, like, what I do on a day-to-day basis. And, like, just with work or with family, with church, you know, you overcommit yourself. You're running, we're both business owners. I wear a couple different hats in a few companies and we're, you know, very, very heavily involved in our church, and our family is a busy family. So for me, it's like most times when I sit down to, like, actually recognize, maybe why I'm, like, super stressed or I'm, you know, depressed or maybe not riding that high that I normally am, I can always usually pinpoint, like, in my life, like, maybe just, you know, I shouldn't have taken this on, or maybe I'm doing too much, or rather than it's not necessarily something that I've carried my whole life, and I've been dealing with something my whole life. And I think there'd be kind of two separate parts there.
But maybe, like, the reason that you commit so much to things and, like, strive so much is like something that you've carried with your whole life. Like you're really, you put like a lot of pressure on yourself and you're, but like, I think it's because you have felt that as a child. And so it kind of like follows you as an adult. So it probably is like something you felt like it from your childhood. Absolutely. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, look at us.
Yeah. No, but that was really good. I like that you said that. Cause I understood. I'm like, I think like, at least from what I understood was like, for example, me, like sometimes I can ride a really low, and he thinks to fix it because, but for me, like sometimes my low, I have to kind of dig back. And I don't know if this is the same for you, Eleni, but for me, I'm like, when I'm actually talking to him, like some, and I don't even realize it still, like even when I, you know, I go to therapy and sometimes when I do speak to my therapist, it's like, I'll be crying about, you know, like my desk at work is not, doesn't look like the girl on the front. And so she's like, that doesn't seem so serious. And it, I don't realize that like, this is something it's one thing that triggered something that happened 15, 20 years ago, right? Like from my childhood. And, but I love that mm-hmm. your husband made that distinction where it's like, sometimes, you know, for like my husband, he's able to kind of like, he doesn't necessarily have those quote unquote triggers. I feel like everyone probably does, but him, they might look like just like mm-hmm. it just triggered a 30-minute, I'm going to be kind of upset about this or frustrated, but it doesn't bring anything back from, at least from him, right? Or like you said, like sometimes it does and there might be something there. But half the time or the majority of the time, mm-hmm. it could look like just, you know, he's frustrated for 30 minutes. And because that's exactly how he is too. Like he could tell me that somebody pissed him off at work. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I'm the type of person to be like, what do you mean? Like, you're okay. Like, I'd be so mad. And, like, I'd be talking about it for days. And he's like, yeah, it's fine, though. And I'm like, what do you mean it's fine? Like, because for me, it's like I would have thought about, you know, something else, or it would have triggered something else. And I would have texted my therapist, like, Tyra, where are you at? I need to talk to you. But, like, but I love that you made that distinction because it's so true. And I think, like, that's – I think it's important. I that's super great because – I think that's the place that a lot of couples miss to start at, where it's like, okay, like you get triggered by one thing and I don't realize it triggers 20 things from when you were 7 versus me, who just triggers a momentary mm-hmm. angry response that I can put away in 15, 20 minutes.
All right. So another question that we had for you guys, I know, Eleni, you had posted something previously about some lessons that you guys had learned. And I remember seeing it and kind of went back and I wanted to kind of dig into a couple of the things that you had posted on there because I thought they were really good points. And we were just talking about them too. And we're like, I think we should kind of dig in a little bit into this because I think it's good for people to kind of like hear a little bit more about it. So one of them, you said that words hold a lot of weight. If you can just go a little more into that, and kind of what you meant by it, but also what have you guys learned on this specific point?
So it's kind of a twofold thing. I think when I put that on there, for one, something that Jer has taught me within our like 13 year relationship, like we've known each other for a little bit longer than obviously we've been married. So that'd be weird. Although we know people anyways. Zach and Becca, I'm looking at you. Anyways, he has taught me a lot about the importance of like sticking or staying true to your word. So like if you commit to something, like following through and doing it. And it's kind of so in the sense of like when we're at the altar, we're like till death do us part or whatever, you know, in sickness and in health and all these things. You list off all these vows. We wrote our own vows and they were ultimate cheese. Like they were, I mean, read them now and I'm just like, I could throw up. But it was like cute because you're also reminded of the priorities that you had, you know, 8.5 years ago. And we weren't really focusing on anything deep. It was really like, when you're sad, I will be there to talk to you about your sadness. Like it was so like surface level. Yeah, we did not mention anything about money in the vows, although I feel like we should have. Like when we have different ways of spending money. We will be there for each other. Like, it was, so anyways, just like the weight and impact of your words are so important. And so I think that, and then the other side of the coin for this sort of same saying that I think is really important is that, like, when you're speaking to your spouse, like, you're treating them with the utmost respect. And sometimes it's like, babe, you're so dumb. Like, you know, stop being so dumb. It's little things like him and I will go back and forth and be totally dumb to each other. But, like, over and over, you'll hear us, for better or worse, saying, like, oh, this is so dumb. You're so dumb. And you say that enough, and it, like, can actually kind of get to the root of someone's overall morale. And, you know, our kids hear us talk to each other like that. And, like, it's these little things that don't really mean anything to each other. Like, we're, it's funny and we mean it super lightly. But at the end of the day, like, you're calling someone that you love so much, and the person to you that represents, like, the bride of Christ and the bridegroom, I guess, and the Lord, like, that comparison, that analogy, you're calling each other dumb. Like, there's nothing wrong with being silly with each other. I just think, like, after a long life together, when you look back, I feel like you're always going to wish you had spoken to your spouse better and, like, treated them better, and the little things that you could have said to them instead of being stupid, you know. Maybe that's just, like, overthinking it a lot, because, like, we are pretty dumb.
Sorry, yeah, I just, like, I love that, because I, like, with my family, and I think we're, for both of us, I don't know how it's for y'all, but for us, like, we grew up with a similar family dynamic where, like, we are very much, like, playful with each other, kind of like that. Like, we're constantly, like, that was so dumb. Like, why would you say that? Right? Like, but at the same time, like, we obviously, we don't have little kids who repeat everything they hear yet. But, you know, when I do think about it, right, like, and I think, like, I've told him, and, like, we kind of talk about this a lot, and he kind of told me first, because it kind of came from a conversation similar to that, where he kind of told me, because we were just messing around, and obviously the way you mess around, right, when you're at home, like, you kind of just get used to it, and because it doesn't mean anything here, and then you say it when you're around family or friends.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, he got my attention about it. We were like, I can't remember if we were like at church or we were around people. And then I said, it wasn't a bad thing, but it was one of those things where it's like, probably, you know, we can mess around like that at home, but right, like, we're around other people, like, probably shouldn't say that. And he told me that. I was like, oh, snap. He's like, yeah, like it didn't hurt me and you didn't bother me. I'm just telling you because I don't want other people to get the wrong impression.
Yeah.
I don't want other people to think, like, oh, that's how they talk to each other. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't. And it's funny because, again, like, that's just how, like, my family, they mess around. And, like, they'll say things. Like, if sometimes, like, when he's around my family, he, like, a few times you've been like, why would they say that to each other? And I'm like, I don't know. We just say things to each other. Like, I don't, like, and so I think, like, for me, like, it's just things that, again, like, they're just words or things that don't really hold meaning. Until, like, somebody else kind of, right? Because I, like, one of our things for premarital counseling, it was, like, you marry your mirror, right? And so, like, he was, like, kind of reflecting back what I was saying. And I'm like, oh, I didn't really realize, right, like, that these things could potentially hurt someone. Because, like, I'll be at home and just saying things, like, to my big sister or, like, you know, to my cousins. And to us, it's like, haha, like, saying things. Until you say to someone else who either doesn't have the same sense of humor or probably doesn't read the room the same way. And you're like, oh, snap. Like, I'm sorry I said that. So, but I really do appreciate that you said that, because it's true. Like, you don't realize sometimes.
And not just that. I feel like also just in general, like, words do matter. Mm-hmm. Like, what you say just in general to your spouse. Sometimes, like, you think it's not that big of a deal. Or sometimes you kind of just say something just to say it or whatnot. But I feel like it kind of does, you know, depending on what you say, you know, it might be funny. But at the same time, like, sometimes you can take it in a way of, like, yeah, whatever, it was funny. But you kind of think about it later and you're like, what do they mean? You know, or just in general, too, saying words that are not building that person and are not helping that person. And, you know, it's contrary to that, is like bringing them down, even though they're saying they're fine with whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so important that we really kind of see that and really, before we say something, kind of think about what it's going to do to your partner, or in general to just people, mm-hmm. right? Kind of being careful with your words and being careful with how you communicate too. Of course, communication is huge, but also how you communicate, right? And how you say things and the way that you say them, or maybe you're just pissed off. And you're just never.
Ever. Tones don't matter.
You're perfect.
No.
I feel like it happens all the time. Like, we're just, you know, you're just mad. Like, I can be mad and I'm just like, whoa, why do you do this? And it's like, oh, you know. And the other person kind of feels down. But I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that.
Or are you guys perfect? I'm just kidding.
Oh, like, even like today was like, I don't know what it is. I feel like the devil just has it in for us every Sunday. Like, we're always like,
I hear you.
It's not that we fight on Sundays. It's just like, we're both just like tired and peopled out and busy. But like, even on Sunday mornings before any of that happens, we're just like, yeah. So we're definitely not perfect, but also like, this is something I am actively working on. So we definitely don't have that all together. Or at least I definitely don't have that all together. Because I am very much a talk before I think person, for better or worse. And I'm just trying to not be that way. But it's like, it honestly starts, like, if I can figure it out in my home, then I think it'll come out in places where it matters a little bit more. When it, you know, in terms of like edifying people and not tearing them down or tearing someone else down in front of other people. Like, that's a whole thing. But
Yeah,
it kind of starts with your spouse, I think, because they're, like you said, like, they're your mirror. So, yeah. Anything you want to add to that?
I certainly could. I mean, more or less, just in the fact of, like, I'll quite often, and, like, I'm just really bad for it, I don't mean anything. What I actually am saying in, like, almost in a good way or in a compliment will come off very... not really sarcastic, but also just in like a different tone.
I don't know how he does that. Because I was saying earlier when you said that you're like a talk before you think kind of person, I'm the same way. So for me, I'm like, if I was mad, you would, or if I was anything, you would probably know. But he's really good at like if he's frustrated, he's like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
I'm like, how
that
do you
too.
Do that? Like, he'll be like frustrated and he'll be like, you know what? We can talk about this later. And I'm like, how do you do that?
She's like, no, let's talk about it now.
I'm like, no, I'm mad right now. Like, I have something to say.
Yeah.
I know.
Just adds fuel to the fire.
If I'm mad, everyone knows that I'm mad. Like, my face is just like... And, like, everybody's like, what's her problem? And I'm just like, Nick, your problem. Like, that's, like, how I get.
She does that all the time. It's literally the same thing. She's like, well, and then I start doing it. I'm like, well, where?
I wouldn't have to be mad if you wouldn't do that.
I love that for you guys.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, we normally charge for these sessions, but today is free.
But it's so true. And I mean, I guess we can go into the next question. Yeah. Like, and this one, honestly, like, I know it's very... I feel like everybody kind of asks this question, but we had to ask it because we don't know. Does everything actually change when you have kids?
And I wanted to add to the question really quickly, because we have a puppy, and I'm not trying to say at all that it's the same, because I know for sure it's not. But I know a few things have changed for us. Time-wise, we can't just leave, because now we have to leave poor little dude, and we have to figure out little schedule things. But I think, like, for me, like, one thing I really, really want to know is, like, what changes? I know we're kind of talking about mental health, communications. I kind of want to, like, I would love to leave it there. I'm, like, just really curious, like, how or if they change, like, how do things change, like, communication-wise? Like, because maybe, right, like, you have your setup, get up, like, prior to kids, and then you have kids, and now suddenly you're, like, probably exponentially tired on both sides. So, like, does your communication cool. style change? Just
everything.
I know everything changes, but I know, like, I think the typical things, like, I know your time changes and, you know, everything else changes. But I'm really curious, like, communication-wise, all of that, like, how does that change, if at all, if it does change?
Speaking of, there's a kid right here now. Yeah, it definitely, I think ultimately what changes the most is just your perspective in life, because it's so much less about you and your spouse, and it's like so much more about your kids, your kid, and the people that that you want them to become, and every choice that you make independently and together impacts that child in so many different ways. And so in this weird way, like, I don't feel, and I never want this to come across as like, I don't want anyone to take this in the wrong way. Like, if you're struggling with fertility, or if you're having a hard time having children, or, you know, all that stuff, then this doesn't apply to you. But I do feel like our marriage, like, ultimately would never have been able to grow to this point unless we had kids. Because we stepped, like, outside of each other's individual needs and even, like, marital as a unit needs. And we were like, okay, we need to figure out how we can make sure that these kids are, like, well brought up. We don't, like, traumatize them. We are very protective of our kids. While also now trying to juggle back in, like, that need as a married couple and our individual needs as well. And, like, I don't, that just takes a certain level of maturity, marital maturity, like, individual maturity. And it's not that you can't have that without kids, because, like, that's not really the case. But kids really propelled that within us to, like, figure our crap out and get mature. And, like, not be so, like, flip-floppy about things. Like, I know having children and, like, raising them in a godly home means that, like, I need to be, like, pretty solid on my beliefs, which I don't feel like even though I was solid in, like, the core of my beliefs, I feel like I was still pretty, like, flip-floppy in, like, other parts of my beliefs, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, like, I felt like I was, like, a feminist for a while. Like, I was just like, screw men, women are the best and we deserve this and we should have this and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, when you have children and you start to, like, when you have girls and you start to see how important it is for, like, their spouse one day, like, you have to start being like, can you start praying for their spouse, their future spouse? Like, that's a whole thing. Like, I've never thought about that until I had kids, you know. It was like, okay, well, I need these women, these young women, when they're older, to, like, be able to find a man that's, like, solid in his manliness and in his faith and, like, and all these things that, like, you just never think about. And then I kind of understood the impact of feminism in my own life and how it was, like, kind of withholding me from a lot of really wild revelations, like, from a godly perspective. I'm totally rambling. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. No. Jared's, like, laughing, but he's like, let's go.
I'll take the less spiritual road of this, though. And I know she answered quite a few of those questions, or that question, very well in a few different ways. But, no, it definitely changes. But I also think that it also makes, like, it just makes you, like, have better time management.
Does it?
It forces you to, actually, yeah, whether you want to have true. It or not. And then it also makes, it makes our, like, our date nights or our little 3-day getaways, like, that much more special, because it's, like, sure, like, we did have, we had a few short moments in our marriage where, it was all us and nobody else. And, you know, obviously that was in, like, the first few months of marriage where you're just, like, trying to figure everything out and you're nagging and on each other's back and I want to go do this. Well, no, let's do this. And, you know, and there's
not, like, stuff to figure out. Sharing a bank account. Like, it's like, what is this?
And so we had all of those little marital quirks that everybody goes through. But then also, like, when you have kids, like, those be like they become priority, in a sense of, like, you know, from the time they wake up, from the time they go to bed, and then that leaves you only with a couple hours of good relationship time in a day. But it also made us, like, more intentional, I think, with that time, just to make sure that, like, our relationship was, you know, 110%, and that we were, you know, making sure that we were putting our best foot forward for our kids in that realm. So, and again, it made, like, the little getaways, and, like, you know, we do, we're fortunate enough to travel and travel with our kids, travel without our kids, and the times that we get to travel without our kids, it just makes it real special for us, and it's not like a, it's not a waste, we're not wasting time, it's all, like, very intentional.
Yeah, and I feel like also the time that we get to spend away from our kids makes us, like, love being parents even more, because we're just like, you know, you, it's like absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's kind of the same with kids too, because you're just like, oh, like, we're having a really good time and stuff, and, like, I'm happy to not call them right now, but, like, I kind of miss them, you know. And, like, when they're around you 24/7, you're just like, get out of my face, please. Like, it's like such a thing.
So
not you though, you're a really great dad.
I honestly love that. And I know that's one thing we were also going to kind of ask about. So I love that you guys kind of, like, segued your way in there. It's just kind of like making time for each other, like, how you do that. But I love that you said that it's kind of more of like your time is kind of purposed more intentionally, where, you know, the 3 hours, right? Like, or the however much time you have after they're asleep or something like that, right? Like, that just becomes more like, okay, like, you kind of start looking for that and that intentionality behind it, right? Like, oh, Saturday, they're going to go here. So that means we have this much time after we've done this. And, like, I think that's really great. And I'm always, like, we've obviously, like, we are hoping that the Lord provides many children, right?
Wow.
Right?
God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
We're like, whoa.
Start with twins.
Yeah. Oh, God. God.
That was so prophetic.
No,
I keep saying that. I keep saying that. No, I'm serious. You said that. I'm like, Lord, there's, confirmed it. There you go.
There's some on her family. There's some on my family, but
it's going to happen.
No.
Whether you like it
or
not.
Wow. No. Won't he do it?
Won't the Lord do it?
So anyways, let's move on from this conversation.
And I just, but I do love that you talked about that, because that, that you both kind of, like, seek that time. Because even right now, like I said, like, obviously we don't have kids, but right, like, even with marriage, like, your time changes a little bit, like, you know, suddenly everything you do, right, like, at, we're at work all day long, and I come home, and we both are, like, are just, you know, your time changes a little bit. And I always was curious, like, why, like, before I got married, I was always like, what do you mean, like, now that you're married, you're busier? Like, I never understood that when my girlfriends got married, and it would take them significantly longer to text me back in the group chat, in our little friend group chat, it would take them longer. And I'm like, you, all you did was move in with that guy. Like, I've known them forever. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you're married now.
Yeah.
And now that I'm married and I've joined that crew, I'm like, yeah, I get it now. And yeah, so I can imagine, you know, with kids and adding that on top of it, right? Like, looking for that time and being intentional with it. Cause even us, like, we'll drive to Dairy Queen and, you know, the 10 minutes over there and, you know, in the drive-thru and all of that, like, we do try, like, we do talk about things that we don't normally talk about, right, that isn't work, because that's, like, the first hour when we come home from work is, like, that, like, yeah, my boss hates me, and, you know, we're gonna pray for her, and yeah, and then work this, and work that, and I have this, and I can't wait to do that, and I got this project, or whatever, so being able to, like you guys said, you know, just be ready.
Make the time for each other, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that you guys take, like, those 3 weekends, yeah, and, like, a weekend off or something like that.
We take a lot of time away from our kids, actually. We're the anomaly.
Good for you.
Most people don't get, well, I just think, like, we live in such a bubble because we live, like, in the same city as his parents and my mom, and, like, and if that doesn't work out, there's options. Like, we have so many people that we trust with our kids, which is, and we're, like, super psycho about who we trust with our kids. Like, super psycho. So it's nice that we have options, which is great. But also, like, It's been almost like we've traveled together since the very beginning of our whole relationship. We probably shouldn't have necessarily been traveling together, but that's besides the point. Like, we both love traveling. We both love new places and new cultures and new, like, just being, and I think because of where we live, like, we live in the middle of landlocked prairie Alberta, Saskatchewan, Canada, and it is like minus 50 or negative 50 for like a month every year, and it's like snows on the ground for 6 months. It's just cold and miserable and dark. And so we make a pretty good effort every year in getting away, like at least once during the winter, just the two of us. And so my birthday was just a couple days ago, and so we'll usually do like we usually do California actually for my birthday, and so we'll do South I was gonna say South Florida, Eleni. We'll usually do SoCal for like the long weekend, or we'll create a long a long weekend out of it, and it's just like fun.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily go with this like big plan. We're just like, we're just gonna do as it hits and comes, and we're just gonna like chill.
Love that.
And it's so nice. I don't think either of us are really like resort people in a, like, we'll go to a resort, but we're not like, we're almost too restless for like sitting on a beach and doing nothing. So the SoCal trips have been really nice. And like, we do, I've been very blessed to have a couple of ministry opportunities where I get to go and travel for that. And like, it's so fun when he gets to come. Oh yeah. Good call. Because we both get to like be kind of in the element, but then also like we're in a different city and different food, and we're just like chilling, and it's so nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do that a lot, like probably more than we should, but it's so good. And I think that's like, in this weird way, I feel like our marriage is like a testament of the time that we actually get to spend together, because we have the opportunity to do it. And for that reason, like, our marriage just continues to grow and be better.
Yeah.
Cause we just get to like get trapped to like, we've stayed at some really sketchy hotels where we like really weren't sure if we were going to live to see the next day. Like, those are opportunities you otherwise wouldn't get to take part in, you know? And like, we've taken like 3 Dramamine thinking they were non-drowsy on a San Francisco boat tour, and thinking like, let's do a really cute date night at the pier after. And we're like, oh my God, we're drooling and foaming at the mouth. Like, we're so tired. So like, why are we so tired? Like, it's like these, oh, we lost, how much money did we lose at the Eiffel Tower?
Girl.
There's just so many experiences, and they just carry on through.
It's just a lot.
Like yeah, you have to have experiences. And I mean, I want to say that, like, no matter where you're at or whoever's listening, like, an experience could be as easy as, you know, going for a 4-hour car ride and still ending up at your house, you know, back at your house that night. You know, you don't have to go spend thousands of dollars on a trip or, because quite often, majority of our little getaways from the beginning were, you know, we're going to go get $100 hotel and we're going to drive 2 hours and we're just going to come back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But we did make intentions of, you know, making sure we just got out of the house, we got out of the same 4 walls, we kind of made an excuse to, you know, not have to answer our phones for, you know, a day or two, and just, you know, really connect, which is like, it's just really strengthened our marriage and our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
I think it's so important to make time for each other.
Yeah.
And of course, like us, like, I feel like we're still, since we're so fresh in it, like, we're still kind of trying to get everything together and everything straightened out, that like, I don't think we've gotten to the point where like, oh, like, let's start taking some time off. We're like, whoa,
we've done a few things. I love, like, our church did, they had this conference in Denver, remember?
Oh yeah.
And we're like, we literally drove to Denver in one night, and we got there the next day.
Wow.
We went to that conference. We got like 2 hours of sleep, by the way. Just drove there, went to that conference, nice, like early in the morning, discovered a new coffee shop that was pretty good. And then from the conference,
nice,
we had tacos, and then we went to see the Rockies. Well, kind of the Rockies. And like, we literally did all of this in a day, like conference, Rocky Mountains.
Whoa.
We saw elk out there, which was really cool.
Nice.
Never seen that. And then we got a few videos, and then that same night we just drove in the darkness through those mountains, went back to our friend's house who was hosting us, and packed and came back. The next day was Sunday. We literally drove from Denver to Albuquerque, and like, we had our clothes for Sunday. We were just wearing them, and we just
went to church.
And like, so far, it's like one of the funnest experiences. Like, I love that you guys say that, because I love the marriages that are kind of built on those fun experiences, where it's like those things are the things that you experience with your person, right? Like, we experienced our very first sunburns together on our honeymoon. I have never in my life. I'm melanated. Aww. I've never burned a day in my life. I mean, I swam all through high school, and our pool in my high school was outdoor in Southern California. I never wore sunscreen once. I never burned. I just tan. I just get dark.
Yeah.
And we went on our honeymoon, and as of like a few years ago after the pandemic, I'm like really good with my skincare, and I'm like, you have to wear sunscreen. I don't want you with cancer. And I like sprayed us down with like SPF 50 plus, and we still managed to burn with... It was like not only the worst sunburn of my entire life, not my first and the worst, but that burn, like the tan lines it left, stayed for like months after. And it just always like, it still makes me laugh to this day, because I'm like, I would like look at his arm or like his legs, and I'm like, aw, honeymoon. And it's like, we got married in June and it's like October. Aww. And I'm like, aw, you remember that? When we peeled, like, and we looked like lobsters. It was great.
Oh my God. Remember when we had blisters pussing out of our skin? That was fun. Yeah.
Being stuck to our clothes. Oh,
but it's like the memories, you know? Yeah. Oh.
It was horrible. I never want to feel that again in my life.
No. No. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it's, I think, you know, those times that you just do random things, or like you guys did, like just, you know, go 2 hours away and just get a hotel and then come back the next day. I think it's so important to just take those little times together. And especially, I mean, we don't have kids, but you guys do. And I'm sure it's a time where you can kind of connect to each other and be with each other without having your children there. And I know sometimes it can sound bad, but I don't think it's wrong. Like,
No.
What do you guys think about that? Like, you should put your kids aside to make time for yourself, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we're... Yeah, it's a very controversial subject for sure, especially within the church. And we have just never been that way. Like, our kids get the best of us day in and day out. And I think that because we take the time for us and the times that we can get away with for ourselves, just allows us to give ourselves that much more to our kids when we are all together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just appreciate it more because we're not lacking in like what we need for ourselves. Whether that's a good coffee date or, you know, a very good, date night and things get great and very intimate and love, like we love being together and then we come back and we just say, hey, no, like that's all fulfilled. Everything's taken care of. Our kids are top priority, like for the next 6 weeks or the next 5 weeks.
And then they're not anymore.
No, I'm just kidding. We, you know, we go and almost recharge. Like you're just like so many people are, I can never imagine traveling without my kids. Or I can't think of, you know, taking a day off and leaving my kids behind. And it's like, well, I mean, the only thing, your only person you're doing harm to is kind of yourself and your spouse. And ultimately, if you guys aren't, if we're not right, and if we're not where we need to be in a relationship, then that just affects our kids regardless.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
but I know that not everybody has the opportunity to like just leave their kids or even like find a babysitter. Like I know just because of where we are, like I said, we can drop our kids off. There's like a list of people that are like, please, we'll take your kids whenever. Like, and we love them and trust them with their lives. So we don't really have the issue of finding space and time to do that. But I know that for other people that don't have that luxury, we'll call that what it is. Like, I think there's a lot of ways that you can kind of like spice up your marriage in terms of like finding date nights that are maybe still in town and maybe your kids are still in the same house, but maybe it involves like putting them downstairs for a movie or, you know, putting them to bed and then like drinking a Red Bull at some point in the afternoon. So you've got like the energy and like, you know, and just like finding ways to sort of cultivate that like going away element, even though you're still like nothing changes. You're still in the same city, still in the same house. Yeah. The kids are still there, but yet you can kind of figure out ways to work around that just so that, you know, you do get that time that's sort of uninterrupted and you don't have to worry or think about your children. They are taken care of. The TV babysitter has got you, or
Miss Rachel,
or they're in bed or whatever. There's options. Thank you, Miss Rachel. There's options. And I think that a lot of parents like don't necessarily have an excuse anymore to not take time for themselves because it's so easy to entertain your children for all, like whatever, an hour, whatever you think is the right amount of time for you and your spouse to recharge. Like for us, it's like we need a weekend. Some people need an hour here and an hour there. Maybe that looks like just being okay with them watching a movie or Miss Rachel or whatever for an hour and just like surrendering your kids to the TV for a little while. Like it's not a big deal. I mean, don't let that be their lives, but an hour here and there is just not a big deal, you know?
It just comes back to intentionality.
Yeah.
Whether it's in conversation or everything that we've kind of talked through here today, but it's just being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. And I mean, another question that we kind of had for you guys too, as far as the church in general, I feel like they're not very focused on it or they don't really mention it as much, I feel like. And recently, I know you guys like are on a little like snippet video on
the Eros conference.
Yeah, that conference.
And,
yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And you're famous.
Yeah, you are. We were like, we're thinking of going to the November one in Texas or something like that. I think it is.
Do it.
Yes. And I mean, I think they're super open, like about so many different topics.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling her, like, I was looking through their Instagram and like when they had the most recent one and I was looking through the stories and I was like, are those sex chocolates?
They were. They like zoomed in on purpose.
I was like, huh? I was like, at the conference?
He was like scrolling on his phone.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, now we really need to go.
He was like scrolling on his phone. And he goes, whoa. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, babe, you know this conference. And he explained it to me. He's like, it's UPC. But look what they, and he showed me the story. And I was like, and then the girl, she like went in on the box of sex chocolates. And I was like they, she's just carrying it around. Like, you know, hey, praise the Lord. And then like, yes, wow, sister.
Oh, yeah. Hey, but I feel like.
Highly recommend.
That's where we go wrong, though. We make sex such a taboo thing when like it's actually anything. But like the conversation about it makes people like squirm. And you're just like, okay. Like what happened to you as a child? But here's the thing. They do. Sorry, that was so. Be like, think before you speak, Eleni.
That was so funny.
At the last, in Sacramento, we went to Sacramento with them in June, and they did a survey for everybody attending this retreat, and it was like, I don't remember the numbers, so they're going to be kind of skewed, but it was basically like, how many of you had a conversation about sex before, you know, when you were a child? And was it positive? Was it negative? How many of you like had one chat about it versus how many of you talked about it often? Mm. And you would be so surprised at like how many people actually had like a healthy outlook on sex in marriage. Like the number was so low and it was just like, man, we are destroying an entire generation of people by making it so taboo and so weird and like so whatever. So they like Adam and Carissa are incredible. They are some really good friends of ours outside of the Dear Young Married Couple business that they run. And like just being their friends, you get to authentically see just how honest they are with like their children and with each other. And, you know, as friends, like it's just cool to see that they're honest with us. And like, it's so cool just to see that they both have either fixed or they had a healthy outlook on sex and marriage, and they're like living that out. So they go in, like at the retreat, they had, it was like a personal sex menu for you and your spouse. And you got to like sit there with your spouse in a room with other spouses and you got to just like pick stuff and do like a 1 to 10. How spicy is this? Or like, do you like this? Does this make you feel weird? Or is this, you know, and you got to sit there and like make this like menu. And then that night they were like, anyways, have fun with that. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. So it's very like, they're trying to really change the narrative regarding sex and marriage. And I think like that needs to be shouted from the rooftops, because that just needs to change. Yeah. And they're doing really great things. Like they have the card deck for children called Having the Talks. And essentially it's just having these conversations about sexuality and sex and gender and the conversations that are making everybody squirm right now. They make it really easy for you to have these conversations with your kid. You can literally turn it into a game, and they have like one side of them is for like little kids, like maybe our kids' age. And then the other side is for like preteens. And they're just like age appropriate questions that kind of get in your kid's world and help you to foster a healthy conversation about things that like they're going to have the conversation with someone at some point. Let's make it you first, and then let's make it a safe space for them to like express questions and concerns and things like that. You know, look at me, like I'm just like, and if you want my promo code, it's 1120 at checkout.
Seriously, huh?
No, I love that. I love that, because we were actually, I feel like we're kind of like recruiting people at this point too, because like we went on the website, we were reading about it, we're like, this looks really good. Like, because again, like you said, like they're conversations that like nobody has, and for like no reason. Because I'm like, well, I know that sex isn't all of our marriage relationship, right? It should never be. Like, it's not, right? Like, but even, like, there is, like, interesting.
He's a 90%.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk of it. Like, it's, you know, it's a pretty, it's a pretty big portion of it, which is interesting, because I feel really, like, blessed that my mom actually had that conversation with my sister and I, like when we were younger, and she wasn't like weird about it. She was just very much like, this is what happens and this is how it happens. And she was always really open. Like, I remember there was this one day where like, I don't know, like, because they were talking about, I was like in eighth grade in middle school, and they were talking about it. And obviously like when you grow up sheltered in the church, right? Like you hear about these things and you're like, oh my God, like it's sex is either something you're doing because you're married, or that you're afraid of because you're like 10 years old, right? You're like there's no in between ever. There's no like bridge. It's just a gap. Right. It's just a gaping hole of like, you're one of these two, right? And if you fall somewhere in the middle, then, you know, like good luck on judgment day, right? Like, and like, there's no like conversation. And I know that's something that we're also like, we're actually currently like with our youth at our church, we're kind of talking about right now, like relationships, like the importance of waiting and stuff. But again, like it's not an open conversation. Like I was saying before, like I'm really blessed that my mom made an open conversation. I remember one day as we were talking about eighth grade, when I was in eighth grade, I went home because, you know, you're sheltered. And I was like, they're talking about all these things. And, you know, I had friends who were making weird jokes and I was just really uncomfortable. And I went home and I just asked my mom how that was for her. I'm like, did you like, and I wasn't even sure if it was a disrespectful question, right? Because I wouldn't just walk up to some random lady and be like, hey, was your first night like magical, or like paint it for me? And, but I did that with my mom because, you know, but she always tried to make sure that it was more of an open conversation, that like, this is something that has to happen, right? And she explained at that time, like, well, that's where babies come from. That's this. And I remember even you know, a little bit after that, she showed me this book. She had, my mom went out of her way and she bought this like anatomy book. It was like a big picture anatomy book. And she sat my sister and I down and she's like everything. I mean, and this is a woman that like, if you met her, you'd be like, no way she's that open about stuff. Cause she's like hardcore, like die hard. I love Jesus. Right. And she had those conversations with me. And my grandma's the same way. Like, I remember one time we were talking about, you know, sex and marriage and intimacy. And she, when she was younger and married, like newly married, I remember she was telling me and my mom, and we were just talking, and she's like, well, I was always just curious why the women in my church didn't want to talk about these things. She's like, because if I wanted my husband, I would just tell him, and this is what I want right now, and we're going to do it. And I'm like, wow. Like, and again, like, and my grandma's like hardcore. Like, if you met her again, she like, she's crazy in a good way for the Lord, you know? And so she has these conversations that you're like,
crazy for the Lord.
And you like, you weren't there, but it was like, when she said it, I was like, that's really interesting. Cause even like, obviously like sex has always been taboo. And like my grandma goes back, like, you know, way back in the day where if it's taboo now, right? Like 40, 50, 60 years ago,
yeah.
It was like
even more,
you never mentioned that. Right. Like,
yeah.
And if you did, it was definitely not in a, you know, gen ed way, the way we're doing it. Right. Wives and husbands.
Yeah.
A wife is talking about it to another wife and so on and so forth.
It's actually really cool to do it in, yeah, like in couples.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we had that happen when we met,
yeah,
in California. Like, it was the first time we went back together. So like we had some friends and like they were already married. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to just sit down and just talk very, very openly,
yeah,
about all this stuff. And it was so refreshing, mm-hmm, to, yeah, be able to with them, because normally people just don't.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know,
yeah,
see where everybody's kind of at. But I guess with all this, right, how important is sex and making time for that? And I think even going away, as you guys were mentioning earlier, kind of helps with that too. But how important is,
mm-hmm,
is it to make time for that and put time away for sex?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I definitely know how important it is based on when it doesn't happen. Like, I think
I'm a guy. Life's great if sex is good. You know, I don't need anything else.
But he's like clinically depressed if it's anything but. But I remember with Mila, like, I think Mila was like not that old, like 3 months old maybe. And I get really bad seasonal depression where we live. Like, I mean, the sun is actually going down reasonably later now, but like normally it goes down like an hour and a half ago. So like I was dealing, so I had Mila in October, and not only am I dealing with seasonal depression like in October, but I'm also like now have postpartum depression. And I was just like, my depression had depression. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, not only was I not interested in having sex, but, like, I was definitely not interested in, like, even look, like, I didn't even want to look at him. I was just so, my body had changed so much. And, like, I mean, you'll find this out hopefully sometime in the future, but, like, there's, like, fluid coming out of every hole in your body, TMI. But like everything, like you're even including your eyes, like everything makes you cry, you know, you're like trying to breastfeed and like, and you have no control over like going to the, like peeing anymore. Like that's a whole thing when like right after you have a baby, you know? So I like don't want to be touched at all. I don't want to be looked at with those fiery eyes. I don't want to be talked to. And so I just thought nothing of it. Also, I'm not a physical touch person at all. Like, I'm okay to not, no, it's true. And a lot of that maybe could be like from my childhood and like some trauma, but I also like, I'm just not physical touch. Ugh. But, and so with all that being said, like I can go forever, I think sometimes without having sex. Like it doesn't even, I don't even think about it. And him, like, it's like 7 minutes and he's just like, I'm just kidding. But he's just like, he's so aware, and he's so like, he's a physical touch guy, and he's very like, he feels so fulfilled as like a lover and a husband, and also just like a member of society. Like, I don't know what it is about him and having sex, but anyways, it's his life.
I think it's all so of us.
For a while, it was like 2 months. For 2 months, like I think it was 2 months, and like I didn't even notice. Oh, at least he says, I didn't even notice we hadn't had sex, like, because I was so wrapped up in like keeping a baby alive and trying to figure out what my body was doing. And we just like got into it. Like, I don't know. We just had a big, not fight. I keep saying like a fight, but it's not a fight. We had this big emotional breakdown where we both just broke down. He broke down. I broke down. And that was when I was just like, I'm depressed. And we had only been married for like a year and a little bit. And he was just like, I'm also depressed because my needs are not being met. And then we just laid it out on the table. And then I feel like instead of me being like, okay, let's go have sex right now because that's what you want. Mm-hmm. It was more like, okay, how can we find ways to like get back to doing that? Because it's not going to happen like immediately. Like I'm still healing. And even though the doctor like cleared me, like technically I wasn't allowed to have sex for 6 weeks because I had a C-section. So like I had my abdominal tissues were like, you know, like I just had 7 layers of tissue just ripped open. Like I'm not interested. So
I'm texting the doctor being like, is she good yet?
Oh yeah. Yeah, know that. I think that actually happened only because they're friends in real life. But anyway, like,
how about now?
Yeah. And so I think we just like, if I remember correctly, I think we just like kind of made this, we had this conversation, we bore our souls to each other being like, I'm so depressed. And like, I've heard of postpartum depression. I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea how physically, like I've dealt with like mental depression, if that makes sense. I've never felt with like physical depression where it's like, I can't get out of bed. My vision is changing. My brain is just, I can't finish sentences and I don't even know how to like get up and brush my teeth. Like it was such a dark season. And then I felt like to have him who was like not in my corner as much as he could have been. And it's not like a stab to him. It was more like, he was also adjusting to being a dad and like running on very little sleep. Mm-hmm. And we were both really frustrated because Mila cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. She just cried and screamed. And it was like till 2 a.m. And so we were just like, this is great. This is life. And then we were both just such big adjustment part of our lives. And then we just laid it all on the table. And then we had to figure out a plan to like get back on track. And then I think I went on antidepressants and then I think it helped, but then it also like wrecked my whole inside. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was that time or if that was another time, but anyways, we just figured it out. Oh yeah. I went on antidepressants and I ended up having to go on 8 pills a day in order to like feel normal.
Wow.
And it was it was wild. I felt like I was like experiencing psychosis. I was taking 200 milligrams a day of Zoloft, and the doctor just said, like, if you don't feel anything, take another 25 milligrams. I was like, cool. So he gave me this like giant bottle of like 25 milligram pills. And then I just kept taking them because I was like, I'm going to take them until I feel something. And then I finally was like, okay, I feel something. It was like 8 pills a day. Anyways.
Not recommended.
No.
He's like,
so then know. Yeah, and then I think like
yeah
I don't know how to answer that.
No, I feel in a like roundabout way. No, so that obviously was like one of the main, like one of the hardest discussions of our marriage at that point, because one, I was fully understanding of what she was going through, at least to my ability, and also didn't want to push that any harder than I needed to. But at the same time, it was just like, all right, well, you know, I'm here if you're good. Like, just let me know when you're good.
I'm not good.
And I felt like, yeah, it was nothing to do with, like not being there for our child. Like it was like, yeah, we're parents now. We're gonna rock this. Let's just.
No, I wanted to throw her in a dumpster for sure. Like I.
She's not a baby person though. So.
No, that's what kind of the depression I was in. Like I was like, I am happy to leave my baby outside and just never look back. Like I can't. We're done here.
And then there's me, which is like, I love everybody's baby. So I'm just like,
give me the baby.
Yeah, obviously, she was happy too. We were happy. Yeah, I'll take the baby. So, no, it was like, that was a really hard season for sure. And I think everybody kind of goes through their own phase of that in some way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just that's just natural in a lot of sense. But then that also just kind of kept the communication window open throughout our whole marriage that way.
Because mm-hmm. We just never wanted to get there again.
Yeah, we were just like, all right, like, let's figure it out. And, you know, there's times where you, like initiate an argument just because you know that the outcome of that is going to be great sex.
So, wow. It's all coming out. Wow. That makes so much sense, actually, now. Like, connecting the dots. Oh, my God.
I'm with you, Elaine. It's okay. Now I'm like, oh. Like, that's why you say those things. No. He just exposed men everywhere.
But let's be honest.
Wow.
Yeah, let's be honest.
It, you know, it is great sex after you fight.
It really is.
Yeah, like there's still just a little bit of rage within you, yes! And you can just kind of let it all out.
you're gonna know what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. So there's that.
But I think like you were.
But no, it just needs to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I love that you guys that you kind of opened up about that conversation, like. And I guess in some ways it kind of ties into how Elaine mentions like how like relationships evolve, like, right? Like, of course when you get married, right? Like in some ways, I don't know how far you guys got with, you know, or how deep you guys got with premarital counseling. And we got pretty deep, but like at the same time, like you can only know each other's sexual needs until you're married. So it's like, and you know, prior to marriage, you understand, like I understood, my mom kind of told me like, listen, like men are like microwaves and they're going to turn on if you just breathe the right way. Like he's going to be there.
Oh my God. It's funny.
Like if you like blink or like he's ready to go.
You're like, what are you trying to say with blinking?
Yeah. And like, wait, I want ice cream
women,
first.
It's like, we need like an ancient hieroglyph. We need like the blood of a virgin.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it's a whole thing. And we need Aztec gold.
And
that's pretty much what it takes for.
and a blood sacrifice, at least for me. I'm like,
yeah.
Particularly in the form of like a good steak or something, right? Like you just
yes. Nice.
And that's, no, but I mean, cut it. I think it's just, again, it boils down to just knowing each other's needs, communication, just talking about what you want, what you need, even when it comes to sex. Like,
but I think even then, like I love that they opened up about like how like after marriage, where she was like, I can't even tell you how badly I want you to not be right here. Because it's really, I think like when, right, like before kids, like it's easy. Because you just kind of, like, learn each other, right? Like, I know when he really wants to. I'm like, that's all the time. But, like, you know, he's learning, me, you know? You know, like, and, but, like, I before kids, it's easy to kind of, like, gauge that. You know, like, you kind of, like, learn each other. And in some ways, like, yeah, you do communicate, right? Like, oh, I like that. I didn't like that. Like, oh, like, what was that you did the other night, right? Like, but when I think like once you have kids, for us, like we don't have kids because right now, like I said, we don't have to really say anything. We can just kind of like know like, oh, yeah, like I guess tonight's good. And you just kind of read each other. But then like with kids, right, like your mind is literally occupied in so many different ways that like.
Yeah.
Like how do you even start that conversation where it's like all these things are happening. It's like, well, where do I start? Right. And it's like. Like the topic of sex, like maybe that's, you know, that would be the husband's, I don't know what's wrong, but if we did this one thing, I'm pretty sure it would solve most of my problems, right? And with women, I'm assuming after kids, right? With women, after kids, it's probably one of those things where it's I don't know where to start, but I can tell you right now, I need you as far away from me as possible.
It's not right now.
I can't even tell you when, and I don't want to tell you when. So I think after kids, I just love that you guys were able to kind of have that conversation. And then from there, right, you guys opened up also about your little weekend trips and maybe, trips to the grocery store. At least for me, those are my favorite. I love going to Trader Joe's with him. Right? You like Trader Joe's. Sometimes.
If we had a Trader Joe's, I feel like I would love that too. We just don't have those here. And it's so sad.
Yeah.
I know.
But I don't know if you guys have anything else to add as far as that sex conversation goes. I feel like it needs a whole episode on its own. But I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
It does. Outside of what we already said, I highly, highly recommend going to one of those Dear Young Married Couple conferences. Nice. Anytime they pull something on, the biggest thing is you have to invest in your relationship or invest in your marriage. It's just like anything. So whether that be time or money or both or whatever that may be, or whatever, however that looks like in that season. But I do know that for us, we've done a few of them now. They just compound on it so well. It's just so simple. It makes the conversation very easy. I'm very blessed to be able to say me and Adam are best friends. He's one of my best friends, and I feel I'm very fortunate enough to get any kind of advice or questions. And I think you just need that in your life, no matter who that is. Doesn't necessarily need to be them, but at the same time, it needs to be whether it's your assistant pastor or there's an elder in the church that they're open to talking about their sex life or how their marriage has been over the years and what they did to be successful in marriage.
Not successful.
Successful. Yeah. You just need to have somebody that you can go to and keep that conversation open.
Yeah.
And then also now obviously we're married here, but even being able to feed into the younger generation in an appropriate manner. Just so that it can just be something that's just the barrier is kind of broken. It's not awkward.
Yeah,
the conversation can just be held, and you don't have people, beating around the bush, so to speak, of just not wanting to engage in a conversation about it, or they're timid or shy, or feel like they're going to get made fun of if they ask the wrong question. Because it's biblical. It's what God put us on the earth to do. We're literally here to recreate, honestly, that's what we're.
Okay, there's more to it than that. Calm down.
But that one was a pretty big one, at least in Genesis. That's
a very big one.
It's subjective, okay?
Yeah, God was like, God's like, hey, thanks for being here. Anyways, we need more, just like you. And this is how you're gonna do it.
And he could have made them himself, but he, gave us the directive and the wherewithal.
That's true.
Anyways. Yeah,
I agree. You guys, as a young married couple, need to go to one of their conferences. I stress it so
much.
Yeah, we've been.
I know it will be the best time for your relationship, and that weekend will just be the best thing you've ever done.
And I promise you. We've made some really good friends with other couples that we got to spend. They've done a few retreats. We've gone to a couple of retreats where it's a little bit more intimate than a big conference. But even in a big conference setting, you kind of find your little group. It first starts with a joke about the lineup to registration. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, do you guys want to sit with us? And then after that, it turns into what are you guys doing for lunch? And then all of a sudden you're bearing your souls over a sandwich and then you exchange numbers and then you kind of you feed into each other, you edify each other. After the conference is over and you know they go back to New York and you go back to New Mexico and you guys just text each other and hey man, how's it going, how are you guys, let's hop on a call, and then you just find friends that are in the same season of life as you, and whether or not either of you can like mentor each other, it's like actually just like trenching through some of the crap that comes with marriage sometimes, you know, like it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes it's really hard and tricky, and whether it's sex related or like emotional or whatever, whatever it might be, like you get the opportunity to like find friends that are sort of doing life at the same pace as you and then just do life with them.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And like 2024 is such a cool time to be alive because you get to like communicate with people that you've never even met.
That's
exhibit true. A.
Yeah.
And even more so when you've met them and you've gotten to like feel their energy, like you can actually like sustain a really great relationship and friendship with them going forward. So I don't know.
And I know we're definitely thinking about going. If anything, at this point, we're kind of like at the recruiting stage. We're trying to see, because we have our church right now, like we're kind of in this place where we're trying to get like some young married couples. We've had, well, there's a lot at our church. There's a few. And like, we're trying to get them to, you know, not only come back to church, come back to the Lord, but at the same time, like really grow that. Cause I think like that's a ministry that's lacking in a lot of churches. I know a lot of churches have that young married couple, you know, ministry, but I know at the same time, you know, a lot don't have that. And it's weird because like, you know, at least like for us, like, you know, for me, like in, especially in a Hispanic, predominantly Hispanic church, you get married and right. Like I haven't even hit my 30s yet. And I'm hanging out with all the Dorcas, right? Like, and they're all like twice my age and I'm just kind of supposed to hang out with them. And like, it's funny because they're all a lot of fun, but it's still a little strange to talk about sex and those things, you know, with women who are significantly older than me. Like, I don't mind it. They're funny, hilarious to me. But at the same time, it's still like,
it's weird.
It's weird. Yeah. I'm like, thank you.
It's weird. He says, it's weird.
It is. It's a little weird. So that's why we're like, I think like this conference and like I said, trying to just bring our buddies with us. And I did want to say this because we said we were going to, and we're not at all affiliated with the UPC, but for those who have no idea what we're talking about, we are going to link that, because I think if you are a young married couple and you're listening, you have no idea what we're talking about. I just think like from what we've seen, we've followed a dear young married couple. We've followed them for a while, and it's just, it's so good. Like it's amazing goodness. And like, for those who don't know what we're talking about, it will be linked in the description of this podcast. And we are also going to just put their little flyer on his page so that way people could just see it. Cause it's amazing. And I think like finding community, especially when you're a young married couple in this day and age, like right now we're talking about sex so openly, and it does feel good because like the more you like, you know, make it a taboo, then you have young married couples who, right, like think everything is wrong, right? Like they like I remember I was talking about
can't have fun.
Like I was talking about that with one of my girlfriends. Where it's like that like Christian guilt, right? Like that apostolic guilt where you're like, is this still like okay? Like I remember for like that was something
I touched on. The first service after your honeymoon.
Weird. It took us like 3 weeks to go back to church. It took us 4 weeks it took me a while like to not feel uncomfortable around my mom. Like, I couldn't look her in the eye. I couldn't look my family in the eye. Just like, hey, guys, how are you doing? Like, everything's so good. Like, it was just some, like, don't look
at me. And they're like, how are you?
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't know.
Like, stop asking me. I'm going to cry. Like, my grandma asked, because my grandma's weird. I love my grandma so much. But she was one of the first people who was like, how do you feel? And I'm like, fine. And she's like, no, how do you feel?
You're like,
I'm
sore, like, actually. But
I was like, I know, I feel great, Grandma. Why? And she's like, you don't feel X, Y, Z. You're not sore at all. It took me weeks. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, Grandma. Yeah, Grandma, I was, yeah.
Why are we no, but yeah, like age gaps are so weird. But yeah, I think as far as like that conference goes, definitely everybody that's listening, you know, we'll post about it and stuff. And that way people know. We are, like, at our church.
And they're interfaith, like, interdenominational as well. Like, they have several people attending their events that are, you know, Baptist. I don't even know. Yeah. Name it.
Assembly.
Anybody.
Apostolic Assembly.
Catholic.
Catholic.
Yeah.
Mormons.
I mean, anything goes.
No, I mean that, though.
Yeah.
No, they've had, there's several, like, we've met several couples that are just from any faith and denomination, yeah, because, like,
that's so interesting.
Having real conversations about, like, marriage and sex, like, that's a universal thing across faiths and denominations and cultures. So, like, people see a need, or they've seen a need for it, and people are seeing that they're filling that need, and so they're wanting to be part of it. So unless they're exclusively doing something at a church, that's like kind of a closed event or whatever, I think they have it open to whoever wants to come and be part of it. And so their Eros conference is an open event. And so, yeah, y'all are all welcome.
No, definitely. And, yeah, I mean, we'll link it and everything that we, you know, people can see more about it and hopefully make the time to go, because I think it's so important to really put that time and even money into your relationship and your marriage. But aside from that, guys, I mean, it was so nice to have you guys on. I know that.
Thank you so much.
I know that we have some troubles coming in and coming out and all of that stuff, but this last run was great. And all the you know, the whole conversation we had and everything that we touched, I think, was definitely you know, so good. And again, you know, we thank you guys for your time,
so good.
For being vulnerable and like being open. I think it's something that I've always told you, Eleni. Like, I love how open you are and just about everything, because not everybody's like that. And I think the more that we are like the more we can help other people that are going through similar things. So thank you again for making the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us. You guys have a great rest of your day. And thank you so much for everybody who's listening. I'm super excited to hear this when it comes out.
Yes, most definitely. And again, thank you guys for coming on. Hopefully at some point we can Canada maybe link up with you guys somewhere out there.
That
would be super fun.
But
we'll definitely keep in touch with you guys.
Lake Release.
That would be so fun. But yeah, thank you guys again, and it was so nice having you. And for everybody that's listening, thank you guys for listening, and really go back and take some notes on this and go to that conference. But for everybody that's listening, thank you guys, and we'll see you on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements, and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Rugged Gospel.